Welcome to VIP of the Month Spotlight for November 2019. Our special guest this month is Nancy Rasmussen from Michigan, known to all of us as Nan. Now, here to conduct our interview is Teresa Rose.
Welcome, everyone, to this month's VIP of the Month Spotlight of November. And our spotlight is shining on our own Nan, and I will slaughter her name, I am sure, Nancy Rasmussen. And Nancy was born on December the 15th, 1938, and she lives in Waterloo, Michigan. Nan, thank you so much for agreeing to be my November VIP of the month, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Teresa, so much for asking me, and I'm just so glad everybody came, and I just hope we'll have a good time tonight.
I hope you enjoyed the little introduction. When I found that, Nan, I felt like it was very fitting to introduce you because you are always singing God's praise. So hope you enjoyed that. We'll ask our first question. Nan, tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised.
I was born and raised in Fresno, California, which is the very center of California, the Central Valley, and lived there and for quite a few years, and enjoyed California very much.
Did you live in California most of your life, or was there a period of your life that you had another home?
Oh, gosh. yeah, I started out in California, and after we were married, we lived in Washington, D.C., and then we moved to Michigan, so we've moved, I think, in my lifetime, or in, well, my whole lifetime, including my married life, I've moved 25 times. So that, and there, you, as we go on, you'll know why.
Wow. Nan, tell us a little bit about your parents and brothers and sisters. If so, how many?
I have a brother older than I am, and my mother and father were both. My mother was born in Tipton, Indiana, married Byron Tipton, and then I have just a brother, but I have a large family as far as extended family, and it was just the four of us, and my dad was he had a linoleum store. That's kind of an old term, I guess, but, and then he was a voice teacher. My mother was a piano teacher. And she also was an organist in a funeral home. And I found myself many times, as odd as it might seem, I would go with her when, because she sometimes had three or four funerals a day. And I would go with her just to listen to the organ. I loved listening to my mother play the organ. Eventually, I would take it up too. But and then my brother, very musical, has composed several pieces of music we are very much, as you'll find out, an extremely busy musical family.
Well, how interesting for your father to teach voice. Tell us a little bit more about that.
my mother and dad, were very much musicians from early on. My dad loved singing. He was in a quartet at the funeral home also. And it was, I had kind of a, an interesting growing up years, because when my mother and dad first taught, of course, they didn't teach right away. My mother stayed home, and I think she had a part-time job at the, I forgot where that was, to be frank with you. My dad soon wanted to go into vocal full-time, as my mother wanted to go into teaching piano full-time. And it's kind of an interesting sidelight here that my dad taught in the living room of our home. Now, we didn't have hallways in our home, and my bedroom was directly next to the room where my dad taught the music lessons. And I've been told that at 4 years old, when my dad would be doing the scales, arpeggios, and all that that voice students do, I would do them right along with them. And he didn't tell me that till later on in life. And I thought, well, I started at an early age. But we had a very busy, he soon built a studio for my mother and one for himself. And we had, once a month, he had what he called Hour of Songs. And there would be piano students, and it was a good way for the piano students, the voice students, to be able to get out in public and kind of, besides recitals, have the Hour of Song. And my mother and I would always get in the kitchen and make sandwiches and something to drink and a dessert. And it was just a fun evening. And the other side to all this is that we often had students for dinner. It was it just a place where people seemed to want to come. And our home was never completely empty. It was always filled with music or students or friends or so on and so forth, but a lot of fun.
What a fascinating, from the time you were a small child, even through your adult years, what an exciting time to have two parents so musically inclined and have a voice teacher and someone that can teach piano and the organ. So I'm sure that you inherited these traits. Did you take voice from your father?
I took 4 years of voice. I didn't take voice until I probably was in the sixth grade, and then I went and I took 4 years of voice. But that was not my love. My dad, he wanted me to sing in the worst way. And I took lessons because he wanted me to. I did some singing for about 10 years, I guess. And finally, I just told my dad, I said, you know, I'm not that interested in singing. My first love was piano, and I took 11 years of piano. I started out with my mother teaching me, but she always gave me lessons at the end of the day. And needless to say, she was tired, and it didn't work. So they found another teacher for me, and like I said, I took 11 years of piano. And I took sight reading, and I took, later on, when I was in Washington, I went back and studied some more with a professor of music at a nearby university. So I've had lots of background, but my first love was piano, and my dad paid me to be the accompanist for his students. My mother and I shared, this, and I also was able to work with some of the students who had a hard time practicing at home, and so I would do practice lessons and help them that way, and it was really rewarding, and that was where I learned that my love of accompanying and being an accompanist would be where I would go in my musical career.
All right, Nan, we'll get a little bit more into that later in the interview. We're going to move on here. Nan, were you born blind, or did you go blind later in life?
No, I I was fully sighted until I was 60. And I wore glasses for, probably 10 years, 20 years, I guess. And one day, did you want me to tell it further now, or you want me to wait for that?
No, go ahead. Tell us what the cause of your blindness is.
I have macular degeneration, and I noticed that I couldn't see to drive as well. I just plain couldn't see as well. And I was working in a bakery at the time, and I couldn't see. When I first started the bakery, I was fine. And then I had worked there about a year or so, I guess, and I couldn't see the cash register as well. And things were starting to kind of get to the point where I was a little concerned. So I went up to the eye doctor, and he gave me the bad news that I had macular degeneration, that the druids, what they call druids that cover the macula, and their little black spots and the little black spots, there's thousands of them in there, and they covered my whole central vision. So I went up to, they sent me up to a specialist, and they did two surgeries on my right eye and one on my left eye. They were laser surgeries, but it was gone. And but he wanted to try to see if he could bring back some of my sight, but it was gone. And I know we've talked a lot about sighted and unsighted people in here, and I just never run across blind people, you know. And it was something absolutely strange to me, and never thought in my wildest imagination, although my dad did have macular degeneration also, but he didn't deal with it very well. And I went into kind of a state of depression, as my husband had a terrible time with it. But sooner or later, my daughter is a nurse, and she had a patient that recommended a school up in Kalamazoo, the one that Terry went to also, and I think Didymus went there, rehab school. And I called up there, and they decided to send a counselor home to me at first. So I had a counselor, and he started changing my life completely. And I was able to get different helps and a cane and things to, you know, change from full vision to central vision. And I started perking up. And my family could see a difference also. So I decided, and I was talking to my counselor one day, and I decided maybe I should go up to the rehab school. So I did. I was there 9 weeks. And I cannot tell you what that did for me. But the first thing my counselor said was, there's nothing that you can't do except drive a car. So I had 7 classes a day. I was 60 years old, 65 by that time. And I had 7 classes a day. I dropped shop because I just wasn't able to do everything else that was going on. And that's where I learned the computer. And I just thank God that I had the opportunity to learn a computer, because it certainly was going to come in pretty handy as time went on. But then after 9 weeks, I went home, and I started off kind of slowly because I was using a magnifier. But then pretty soon, went fast. Some maculas go slower, some go faster. Mine went pretty fast. And within a year, I had nothing in the central vision. But I had everything, all the knowledge that I could do anything I wanted as a partial. So I was very grateful for my family, for one thing. They stood by me, helped me, encouraged me, got me things that would help me to do things as a partial. And I just can't thank them enough. And I began my life as a partial blind person.
And so, Nan, you have no central vision. So do you still have peripheral vision? And in asking that question, do you use a cane or do you have a guide dog?
I use a cane. I'm not really qualified for a guide dog, but I use a cane. I also am at the point in my life where I have a walker. So my walker is kind of like, and you can use, they taught me at school to use a cane with the walker. So that works pretty well. But I forgot what your other question was.
If you still have use of your peripheral vision, I can't talk tonight.
Yes. In fact, my peripheral vision is great. And last year I went to the eye doctor because he checks my eyes every year. And my peripheral vision got better. But as I've talked to some of you, I tried to use that peripheral vision a little bit too much and not depend on doing things the way I should. But I get along really well. I think I do. I'm grateful for that.
All right, Nan, we're just going to back up a little bit here quickly before we move on to education. You were fully sighted growing up, so tell us a little bit about Nan as she grew up in elementary school all the way through high school.
Well, I didn't like school. I mean, I liked school, but I didn't like to study. You know, I was the kind of kid that would look out the window rather than pay attention to what the teacher was telling me to do. I did well in school as far as elementary and junior high. I'd rather be on the playground, you know, having fun and all that. And both the elementary and the junior high school, I was very active on committees and, you know, all the different things that I could get involved in. And in junior high, I was very happy that I had gotten along well enough music-wise that I was the accompanist for the choir there in junior high, which was pleasing to me. But I also was a yell leader. And they called them yell leaders at that time. Then we also had a pom-pom squad, and I was very much into sports, both from an early age. I mean, when we were outside, we were always outside, and we always playing some kind of sport or the other. And I did that in junior high, played baseball in high school. So that was kind of, and then, of course, the other thing I wanted to kind of tell you too was not all along with my music, but in my, when I was about three, I started ballet lessons, and then my brother and I became a dance team, and we danced for about 10 years, I guess, until he got into high school and he didn't want to do that anymore. So much of my growing up years were after school. I would go home and practice all the things that I needed to practice, and then we had a lot of different organizations that we danced for. So my growing up years were very busy.
Sounds like it would be with a voice instructor and a mom that's very musically inclined and a brother as well. And sounds like you were very much involved. What type of dancing did you and your brother do? Any particular style?
All styles. From ballroom to Russian dancing, we did. There wasn't anything we didn't do. And my mother made my costumes. And we just had fun. And we'd take our bicycles and go down, and we'd have lessons a couple times a week. And then we would have to practice the course, you know, at home. But that was just a very fun time for Larry and I. And I think it helped us to gain a lot of confidence in ourselves, and it was something that we really enjoyed. I didn't enjoy practicing voice and piano, you know. I did it, you know, but dancing was my first love, and Larry also. But as brothers do, you know, he said, well, when he got into high school, he said, well, you know, he says, I don't want to do it any longer. And about broke my heart, but we had a good run, and I went on to do other things, and he did too.
So, Nan, do you think that the confidence that all these different things helped you build over those years was preparation for the confidence that you would need in your 60s when you lost your eyesight to be able to go on and know that you were that you would be able to continue to do all the things you wanted to do? It would not stop you.
Well, that's that's a little hard question. I guess, you know, I mean, I was a pianist and organist for years. And I think the dancing and being in public probably helped a lot. But my family, I didn't want to do anything right away. And my family urged me I had a lot of faith in God, you know, that he would help me through it. I don't think the confidence was not there at first. But what gave me confidence was the people that had confidence in me. And that gave me the, boy, sounds like I'm running around in circles. But that gave me the confidence to know that I could do it. And I think probably that has helped me more as I've gotten older.
Nan, tell us, after you finished your high school years, did you further your education in college, technical school, anything like that after high school?
No, I didn't. I graduated in June and got married in November. So I was married at 17. I married a wonderful Christian man. And we started our life together, and we traveled. I didn't travel. My husband worked for the Department of Agriculture, so I traveled with him, and I did not work. He was a fruit and vegetable inspector, and we moved a lot. So I went with him, and we would sometimes spend a year or two and then go someplace, and he'd inspect someplace else. So at that time, I did not further any of my education.
So that's why you moved over 25 times in your lifetime. Do you want to elaborate a little bit more about that? And we know that you have children, Nan. So when did you and your husband have children?
We had children in Fresno. They were both born in Fresno. You excuse my voice. I'm a little dry tonight. We have a daughter, Debbie, and then we had Randy 2 years later, very early in our marriage. Unfortunately, we lost our son due to cancer in 2009, but my husband, we traveled with his work, and that probably, you know, took us, I wouldn't have had to go with him, I guess, but I chose to go with him. And the children, they were just babies when we were moving so much. And we stayed in California until, oh gosh, I think it was 67 before we moved to Washington.
So, Nan, in speaking earlier about the love of music being the love of your life and that you later became a pianist, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I didn't start playing in my musical love was playing in church. And I didn't really start that. I did a lot of singing the first part of my marriage. I was doing singing more than piano, to be truth with you. And but I really didn't start playing piano an organ in church until I went to Washington, D.C. And they needed a pianist. And so I did that. I started playing for the church. And then they needed an organist. And I said, oh, okay. I had taken organ for a little bit, but I wasn't very, I mean, I did it because they needed an organist. But then that's where my love of being accompanied, being an accompanist started. And I was to play for many people, many soloists, instrumentalists. When we reached Michigan, I continued that. I continued clear up until I stopped when I was, oh gosh, when I lost my vision, I stopped playing. And in total, I played 40 years, 45 years, I guess. But I'd always wanted to be in a large church and with a large choir, and I accomplished that. And I really did a lot of accompanying. And trios, and I mean, just whoever needed an accompanying. And we would go, lots of times I'd follow them to other churches or events or whatever. And I just absolutely loved it. And that was my true love. And but it came to an end about, for reasons unknown to me, but may only known to God, it came to an end after about 45 years.
Nan, do you still play today?
No, I do not. I'll tell you, when I lost my central vision, one of the things I got rid of was my piano. And I got rid of all my yarn. I you know, I did a lot of crocheting because I thought my life was over. You got to realize this was something I didn't think I could do it again. Well, and another reason for that, too, is that I'm still sort of a sighted person in growing up and in playing the piano. It was all music. I couldn't memorize worth anything. And everything I did was by music. So all of a sudden, when the central vision was taken away, I couldn't see the music. So I just gave my piano away. I did everything. And so I haven't played the piano for 20 years, but I keep telling people I'm going to buy a keyboard and get back into it.
I think you should, Nan. I really do. The love of music that you have and the talent that I'm sure that you still have and the gift that God has given you, I think you would be wise to do so. And I want to be one of the first to know when you do that.
You know, the love of music never leaves, you know, but God sent me in a different direction. And I guess I had played in church since I was 12. I started, just after about 45 years, it was almost like I had run a gamut that I needed to rest for a while. So I did, and I regret it in a way, but I have to tell you, he sent me in such a different direction that I understand now why I gave it up. And I did it. I did it for 45 years, and it was like I needed to move on.
All right, we're going to change subjects here for just a little bit. We know you just told us that you have had two children. And how many grandchildren do you have? And do you have any great-grandchildren?
I have two grandchildren. They're both married. And my daughter lives only about 10 minutes away from me. And she and her husband are very close by to help me. And my grandchildren have two children each, so I have four great-grandchildren. And in December, we're going to spend Christmas together, all of us, for a whole week of my granddaughter. So I'm really looking forward to that. And we were very instrumental in helping our daughter and her husband to, you know, they could send the kids over and we'd take care of them. And we're very close to we're very close family.
Well, that sounds very exciting, Nan, and we hope that you enjoy that time together. It's very exciting. Nan, if there was one thing in your life that you could do over again or change, what would that be?
I've thought about that since you said that, you know, that it would, that would be a question. It's a hard question to answer. You know, if we would change, if we would say, well, we'll go back and we want to do something completely different, we would probably mess that up too, you know? And I messed up my life a lot. But I think probably I would not have given my parents such a bad time as I was in high school. I went through a period of real, you know, I knew what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to do what my parents wanted me to do. And I did get over that later in life and appreciated what my parents did for me. And I think that's what a lot of us do. We look back and we say, oh, yeah, I guess they were right.
And that brings me to another question. Tell us when you got your first kiss, Nan, and if you remember how old you were and who it was.
Oh, I love this question. Not really, but I know we have to answer it. I was in junior high, seventh grade, and his name was Richard. And, you know, a bunch of us were sitting around one day, and you know how junior high kids talk about all this, you know. And so they said, we dare you to kiss. And so we did, and that was my first kiss. I have not seen him since we got out of junior high. He went to a different high school than I did to, or that I did.
All right, Nan, tell us, what is the one thing that you got in the most trouble for in high school or elementary school with your parents?
Oh, dear. Well, the one in high school, oh, dear. It's a cute story, but oh, it was terrible at the time. My mother, my brother just teased me awful lot, you know, and we would do things back and forth to each other, but one day I really got in trouble, and I think I was a junior in high school, sophomore, or something like that. We had a family Bible, and it was on a stand right by the doorway into the kitchen. That's important to the story. And my brother was on the phone with his girlfriend, and like any good sister would do, I was teasing him about his girlfriend. Well, he picked up a pomegranate, and now pomegranates are red, and they have a hard cover, and they're red and juicy inside. So he picked up that pomegranate, and as I was on my way to go to my girlfriend's house, okay? So I was going towards the front door, and he threw that at me. Well, like any good sister would do, I threw it back at him, but it missed the doorway and hit the side of the door and landed on the family Bible. And the pomegranate juice went all over the Bible. Well, I maintained that it was not my fault. Well, I got to tell you, too, my parents weren't home. So I continued on to my girlfriend's house. Pretty soon I got a phone call, and they said, Nancy, you get home right now. So I went home, and I got into big trouble. My brother didn't get into trouble, but I did. And I guess, you know, either I should have been a better pitcher or just not thrown it back. But that's a funny story that my family loves to tell on me. And I did get in trouble.
Oh, Nancy, that is precious. That is absolutely precious. Thank you for sharing that with us. Nan, tell us, over your life, who is the one person that was a great role model in your life that made the biggest impact? Is there a person in your life?
That's a very hard one for me because, as I told you, we moved a lot. And it seemed like every time we moved, there was somebody that I met in my life that helped me as I went along my life. But I think the one that helped me the most, well, there were two. One was my grandmother. My parents were so busy, I was over at my grandmother's house all the time. She was a big influence on me. But also a pastor that I had in at church that I was able to go to, and he was just such a wonderful person, and I really looked up to him as a teenager. And I remember him, his name was Pastor Ronald Meredith in Fresno, California, and I will never forget the advice that he gave me as I would sometimes go up to his office and he would take time to talk with me. And that we were going through quite a bad time with my brother in the high school. And I would say he was the one that really influenced me and helped me through this difficult time. And as I look back, I often think about the advice he gave me.
Nan, I know that you've had some health difficulties in your life. Would you like to share some thoughts about that?
Well, I've had some, you know, I always hesitate to say I've had some challenges because everybody has challenges. But at a very early age, when I was 2, I got very sick and almost died. And I had blood clot on my brain. And I was without sight for 3 weeks. And one day they told my mother that I wouldn't live. If I lived to the next day, that I would be fine. Well, God chose to heal me. But it did leave me when I was 17. The doctor told my mother at the time that if anything should happen because of the blood clot and the high fever and everything I had, that it would come about in my teenage years, as it did. And I pronounced with epilepsy. I had a struggle with it at first because I had the grand mal seizures, but the doctors were soon able to get some medicine that would help me. And I've been on it ever since I was 17, but they tried to get me off of it one time, but I had seizures about every half hour. So since then, I haven't had any seizures, so I'm really blessed with that. But also, when I was in 92, I had breast cancer. And, you know, you get really concerned when that happens, you know, of course. And, but I was very fortunate. I had an operation, I had a mastectomy and the challenges that go along with that. But, when I was in the hospital after my operation, the doctor said, "I have good news. You don't have to have chemo." So they caught it very early, and, cancer is in my family, and, the others were not quite as fortunate as I was, but I was able to go about my life, and I was back at work within 6 weeks. And then let me think a minute when this happened. 07, I was to go about something that changed my life entirely. I I had colon disease, not cancer, but colon disease. And they operated on me, and I got an infection, and I almost died three times. They had me on the ventilator, and they called in my family, and they said, she won't live the night. And there again, you know, God must have had a reason for me to live. But it took its toll on me, and I was in the hospital for 2 months in rehab, and it took me 6 months to a year to get over it. I had lost 60 pounds in 2 months, and I didn't eat for 3 weeks. I got something that they, oh, my daughter's a nurse, and she'd know what this is, but sometimes when you get that sick that you just don't even want to eat. They had me on IVs, but they wanted me to eat too, you know. And I just refused food. So I was malnourished. I couldn't even get up out of a chair by myself. So I had a lot of rehabilitation. And within a year, I was fine and back to myself again.
Amen. Oh, what a testimony, Nan, for your life, the things that you have had to endure, and then in your 60s, lose your sight to macular, and then overcome them. What an inspiration. Nan, tell us, if you could go anywhere in the world, anywhere, I know you've traveled and moved, you know, you've said over 25 times, but if you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
My husband and I did a lot of traveling, so I've been in all the states but one. Well, I haven't been in Hawaii or Alaska, but my husband's heritage, I'm kind of like, you know, 57 Heinz, but my husband's heritage was Denmark, you know, Danish, and his dad came over actually on a boat as an orphan in Denmark, and came here to the States. And I would love to go to Denmark. His aunts are the most wonderful cooks in the world, and Danish pastry. And I just like to see where all his family comes from. They're very, very Danish people. His father speaks Danish, as does his uncle, my husband's family. So that would be where I want to go, Denmark.
Sounds exciting. I hope you get there one day, Nan. Nan, I know that you have a very, very strong faith in God. Would you like to share a little bit about your faith?
Yes, I do. From an early age, church was where I wanted to be. I was baptized when I was 10, and then I was very active in the church. You know, all the different areas that I could do, I was there. And as a teenager, I was president of the youth committee and our youth organization. And I depended a lot on God, because there was some things that were happening in my life that my mother became very against religion and turned to believing in astrology and all those things that, you know, and I just couldn't do it. She tried to bring me in, and I couldn't do it. So, and then I married my husband, and he had always wanted to be a minister, but he decided to go into agriculture instead. But all through my life, I really was, all the time that I was playing the piano and doing, you know, odd jobs in the church, and I was school secretary for a while, you know, things like that. I just kind of didn't know who I was serving. You know what I'm saying? I knew the Bible, you know, I studied the Bible and went to Sunday school and church and all that. But around my 40s, I went through a very, very deep trouble in my life. And I went away from him for about 10 years, I guess. And I tried to leave kind of like, you know, I can do it myself, you know. And what happened was I got myself in a lot of trouble. And I remember one night I finally just had to. I was so miserable. I was so depressed. And life was just, you know, just not right. I had everything to live for, but I thought it just wasn't. There was something missing. And I spent one night just talking to the Lord. And I had a reawakening or a second grace. I don't know what they call it. And that my journey started, my personal journey with the Lord started when I was about 45. And it changed my life completely. I couldn't have gotten through the illnesses I went through and losing my brother to drugs, so on and so forth, without this walk with my Lord. And we started walking together. And this happened at the same time I quit music. And it's funny, you know, I pray a lot today, and I couldn't get two words out when people wanted me to pray at first. And then, you know, through the years, the prayer life got more, and he brought me through my surgery. He brought me through so many things, and I started just really depending on him and reading my Bible and getting to know who the Lord was that I had been serving all those years. And today, he is just the most important person in my life, besides in my family and my friends. I could not live without him. He has shown me, you know, that even in the struggles of our life, he's there with us. He was there with me when so many things happened and I just wanted to give up. And he's brought me through so much. And I continue to praise and thank him for the blessings that he gives me each and every day. And I still have my problems. But at the end of the day, I give them to him. I leave them behind me. And I wait the next day. And he means everything to me. I love him. I praise his holy name. And we enjoy walking our walk together now. And it's just changed my whole life completely.
Thank you so much, Nan, for sharing that. Before I ask my last question, and then we open it up to the members to ask any questions, is there anything over the period of your life, Nan, that we haven't covered here that you would like to share with us?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've lived a long life, you know, but I've hit the major points, and so I don't think so. I mean, I could be here all night, you know, but I think you've managed to very graciously lead me in answering the questions that are most important.
Nan, thank you so much for agreeing to be my VIP for the month of November. And my last question that I always ask my VIPs, when did you become part of VIP Conduit and how has it changed your life?
Well, after I was at rehab school, they arranged to get me a computer from a lady in Detroit. And I got on the computer, and somebody told me about For the People. And I joined For the People, and that was in 2004 or five, I guess. And so I heard, you know, of course I went in, and you know, a lot of the people that are in here now were in there then. And then in 08, I went over to VIP. I've been on VIP since 08, But when I first came in, I didn't go into any of the chat rooms. I went to the Sunday service. I went to a lot of the events. But my husband was getting really bad in 2014, and life was getting a little hectic. So I bowed out and didn't go to any. I wasn't even on the computer hall about 3 years, I guess. And then I thought, you know, I really miss those church services. I miss the people on VIP, and when I came back, it was just like coming home. And I remember when we lost our son in 2009, of course the family was together, but that evening I was alone, my husband was asleep, and that was the night that Rick and his wife had the quiz, you know. So I thought, I'm going to go in there. And I went in there, and I just listened. And it was a place for me to go and be among people. And I think that it means for me the chance to get to know people, to learn about them, to understand them, to have a lot of fun. It gets lonely as a single person sometimes. And it's just nice to have people who understand what it means to be blind or legally blind. It's just a wonderful way to spend an evening or morning or whatever and be among friends in your own home on the computer. And I really enjoy it very much.
And Nan, I am so grateful and thankful that you came back to VIP, because if you had not, I would not have the opportunity to have met such a wonderful person. Nan, thank you so much again for agreeing to be my VIP of the month of November. This has been a wonderful, interesting interview. What a wonderful life you have had, experiences, also the heartaches and the troubles that you have overcome with God's help. And again, thank you so much. And we're going to open up the mic now for anyone that would like to ask Nan a question. Remember, if you would key up one at a time and give her the opportunity to answer before someone else keys up. Okay, who has the first question?
Hello, Nan. Yes, enjoyed the interview. And my question is, I know from previous talks we've had that you're well-versed when it comes to the Bible. I was wondering if you have a favorite chapter, passage, or book in the Bible that from which you draw a special inspiration, and why?
Well, I have several. I like Hebrews because it has so much faith in it. I think the 23rd Psalm is probably my favorite, and I repeat it every day. I think it gives us strength. But also, as we're studying, I think Proverbs is, and I think too that at different times in my life, different chapters have been my favorite. And when I was going through cancer, as I told you, the favorite was trust in the Lord with all my heart. I must have said that 1,000 times as I was going through cancer. So those three, I think, are my favorite.
Anyone else have a question?
Oh, it's more of a comment. This was a great interview. I really enjoyed it. And Nan, I just want to say that I've always, you know, as time has gone on, I've grown to truly respect you and care for you as a friend. You've had a great life, and you're an inspiration to all of us, especially those of us that are Christians, to, you know, continue to have faith and to do better. And I've talked to you about my mother and how she's at a similar age to you, and I really have a lot of respect for you because, and I don't mean this in any disrespect to my family, but you're a lot of things that she's not, and I really respect how you live your life.
Thank you, Kay. Anyone else?
Nan, I'd just like to say it's been a pleasure knowing you all these years, and you've been a great inspiration to myself as well. And I admire you and your close-knit family. It's great to see a family like that. And I sure have learned a lot of things I didn't know about you. And you're really an inspiration. Thanks for being a friend and a member of VIP.
Nan, this has been a delightful interview. And we appreciate you and Teresa taking the time to do it and giving us a chance to really know who you are. Thank you.
Nan, I agree with everything that Kay said. I have a great respect for you. I enjoy your sense of humor. It's just a pleasure being able to call you a friend. But, young lady, I still need that $10.
Oh, me. Nan, I just have enjoyed getting to know you, too. And I appreciate your willingness to share your wisdom with us. I mean, all that experience can help somebody. And you've been very good at sharing that at different times. And I've heard it, and sometimes you're like, oh, you know, I don't really want to take that advice, but I take it, and I'm better for it. And thank you so much for that. And I've enjoyed the interview tonight.
Nan, I just want you to know that during those years that you were absent from the Sunday morning service, that you were being missed. Because you add so much to that service. We're glad you're back.
Nan, we sure do have a lot of fun together every day, don't we? It's really nice to have you back on VIP.
Anyone else have a comment, or does anyone have a question for Nan?
Nan, it's John here from Canada. I'd just like to say how proud I am to have become to know you, and when I see you in a room, it makes me smile. Thank you very much.
I second that, John. And great interview. Really enjoyed it. I knew it was going to be, and I wanted to make a special effort to be here tonight. And I really appreciate your sharing with us, man. Always like seeing you in a room and going in that room, because I know it's a nice place in there.
Becky, I think your mic got turned around on you. You were pretty low with your transmission.
I was gonna say I really enjoyed that interview.
Before we close, anyone else have a comment or a question for Nan?
Hi.
Nan, let me say again, thank you so much for agreeing to be the VIP of the month of November, and it has been a pleasure getting to know you better and letting us take a closer look at your life, and thank you for sharing your faith that you have in God. What an inspiration you are and a walking testimony, and I personally want to thank you and want to say that I appreciate that you've shared so much with me. And I look forward to continuing our friendship. And I hope you have enjoyed the interview.
I've enjoyed it a lot. I was a little nervous about it, but, you know, it is my life. And I knew that there would be a lot that people didn't know about me. And I did want to share that. Y'all are making me cry, too, with all your comments, and I feel extremely humbled by all of your comments, and I thank God for all of you, and I'm just feel very privileged to be able to share my life with you, and thank you so much, Teresa, for making it so easy.
You're more than welcome, Nan. Everybody, stay for just a few more minutes. I'd like to share a selection at the end of my interview selected by my VIP. And this was selected by Nan, which will tell you a little bit more about who she is. So stick around and listen. And this is for you, Nan.
When my faith shall be sound.
Again, thank you, Nan, so much for agreeing to be my VIP of the month of November. For the month of December, the interview will be on December the 30th at 7 p.m. here, held here in the Village Square. It will be our own Harith. So put that on your calendar, and we look forward to that interview to see into his exciting life. Thank you, everyone, for coming. God bless and good night.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.